Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Heartland Politics here on KBUR AM-FM, Burlington, Iowa. This is your host, Robin Johnson, and as listeners to this show know by now, my focus is on politics and talking to office holders, candidates, but also our American culture and the important relationship between culture and politics, which these days is more important than ever. To examine American political culture, I speak with guests from a variety of backgrounds and look at some very interesting topics. And today is one of those shows. As listeners know, I talked about country music here a couple weeks ago with the country music historian who assisted on the Ken Burns documentary on country music. Well, today, this is a show I've been eagerly anticipating as well, because our focus today is Bruce Springsteen, musical legend. And we're going to look at the boss's impact on American culture and politics. And we'll talk why we're doing that right now, the timing of it, with my guest, who's Jefferson Cowie, a professor of history at Vanderbilt University, who's currently at Stanford University for 1 year fellowship at the Center for Advanced Study in Behavioral Sciences. He's an author. He's written several books. He's spoken at where I teach at Monmouth College. He's co-authored a chapter from a recently released book on Bruce Springsteen that I highly recommend. And he's going to be talking with us today. Jeff, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Robin. Thanks for having me.
All right. The book is called Long Walk Home, Reflections on Bruce Springsteen. And your chapter, written with co-author Joel Dinerstein, which, by the way, who also appeared on my show, is called The Role of a Popular Artist in American Society. And it's from a section on Springsteen, Politics, and American Society, a perfect topic for our show. So what started your interest in Bruce Springsteen beyond just, you know, just another rock performer?
Well, I think he's a particularly interesting artist in that regard, because almost everybody has to tell their origin story with Springsteen, and it's fascinating that you start off with that question. So, you know, I was raised in the Midwest, and I heard that voice come out of the radio, Born to Run in 1975, and then especially for me, then Darkness and The River in 1980, and those songs just leapt out of the radio and told me that there was a bigger life out there for me to have and a lot to aspire to, and it just stood out from all of the other kind of, you know, big arena rock music that was happening at the time. And I continued to evolve with him, politically, socially, in terms of, you know, who I was as a person, a citizen, a man, continue to this day.
Interesting. And you mentioned the Midwest. Does his music have more appeal, you think, to perhaps regionally to Midwesterners?
Yeah, I think he does. I think he's a particularly Midwestern artist. Obviously, he's most famously from New Jersey. But as the title track from Nebraska alone, the title of Nebraska suggests, he's got deep Midwestern sensibilities, I think, and certainly the sort of industrial heartland sense is very much there, and as well as the sort of southern migration to the north of is there too. He's from a neighborhood called Texas in Freehold, so there's a lot of kind of cross currents of America, but I think you really kind of feel it there in the heartland, and people in the heartland feel him.
So this you followed this guy from the very beginnings, so you got the book opportunity came up, which must have been a thrill for you personally. How'd that come about? Talk a little bit about how you came to participate in this book.
Well, you know, I was invited. it was, of course, his 70th. The book is for his 70th birthday, which happened last month, which is just phenomenal if you see him today, that he's 70 years old. And a few of what people call Bruceologists, sort of mockingly, got together and decided they were going to do this volume and invited some other people who have written or thought about or have used Bruce in their music. So there's rock critics and historians and novelists and all sorts of people in this volume. But anybody with an interest in Springsteen sort of got drawn into this project. And it's quite an eclectic group of writers, I think, which makes it interesting.
It is. I've read the book, and of course I focused on the section you're involved in. with the politics in American society. Looking at it throughout his career, he's known as kind of a guy, entertainer that talks to the working class. How, but that's not all. How would you measure his overall impact on our culture?
Oh my goodness. I don't think it's too pretentious to put Springsteen on the short list of important people of American letters. You know, I'm not going to put him with other rock stars, but actually in the canon of American writers like Emerson or Whitman. And he's certainly up there with Elvis or Dylan or James Brown. But I think he's more than that. He's speaking this deep American idiom and that appeals to such a wide variety of people because he's not just he's struggling to get at that tension between the individual and the community. You know, what is that arc? Where are you on that tension? And, you know, some of his songs are about getting out of town. We're born to run. It's Thunder Road. We got it. You know, this place is a town full of losers. We got to get out. And others are the horror of alienation. You know, all of darkness on the edge of town is what happens if you grow up and you are not connected with people. And so I think that's a particularly American phenomenon that is explored through, you know, whether it's Steinbeck or whatever, are trying to find that sort of place between community belonging and individuation that's so important in American culture. And that's what I find particularly powerful, particularly rich, and almost trans-historical in themes about Springsteen's music.
It's interesting, too, some of the chapters talked about Springsteen addressing what it means to be an American, which, of course, goes along, I think, with culture. And there are different takes on it as he evolved as a singer and writer and performer. Is there a way to wrap up, a few sentences? What does it mean to be an American, according to Bruce Springsteen?
Well, I think it means he's engaged in that struggle. I don't think at any point you go, oh, there, he found it. But what it means to American is to be engaged in the struggle to figure out what it means to be an American. And I think he's never given that up from his very first albums, those kind of crazy bluesy jazz-infused kind of street urchin albums that began his career to these much more anthemic kinds of perspectives. He's always searching for that. And it's that search that I think that really draws people in. And I think at any point if he says, I found America and here it is at this particular crossroads, I think we would give up on him and he would have given up on his art. It's the quest. And he just keeps going, whether it's, you know, the shooting of a West African immigrant in 41 shots, or the guys getting out of town in Born to Run, or the Vietnam vet in Born in the USA, or the fireman in The Rising. You know, these are all sort of iconic American figures who are trying to figure out what it means to be in America, where they fit in America, who they are as individuals in this broader fabric. And that's what's great.
And he went deep into it. I mean, he didn't just come up with this without doing some of his own research, which I found interesting in reading his biography, how he read Steinbeck and Woody Guthrie. And I know you're familiar with all that. He went to those folks, and that's kind of who he's modeled some of his songs after.
Yeah, and that's, I think, his earlier work, you know, through the 70s was really autobiographical. And it was about his life in the greater New Jersey, New York complex. And then in the very late 70s and early 80s, around the election of Reagan, the recession of the 70s, the election of Reagan, things like this, he began to get more political, and he took some tutelage from his manager, John Landau, who began to say, you know, you might want to read this book. Here's Henry Commager Steele's History of America, or here's, you know, go watch Grapes of Wrath and then read Grapes of Wrath. And he began to look out to a broader scale in the 80s and begin to see himself as part of this broader set of questions. And that's where some of his best work, I think, emerged as he began to kind of wonder about that, and certainly some of his best shows.
I think I guess I'm not as much of a Springsteenologist as you or a lot of others, but some of his work, I bought most of his work, and it seems like the Nebraska piece mm-hmm. was really interesting in that it's all, isn't it all acoustic guitar or most. And just kind of really, kind of some darker themes that, he kind of descended a little bit there before coming back up in the 80s with, Born in the USA.
That's right. And, I mean, I think if you listen to something like The River, which is the album that preceded, Nebraska, you get hints of that. There's some kind of just plain old rock and roll in there, but even the song The River is fairly dark, where, he gets some woman pregnant and he marries her, and these sort of broken dreams and the economy's going downhill and things like that. So it's there. But in Nebraska, which was originally recorded as some demos in his bedroom, just with a 4-track recorder, and then he was supposed to take him to the band, and then he and his manager listened to it and said, you know, this is the right sound. This is the right scale for this moment. And I think in a lot of ways, that Nebraska album is the definitive statement about that early 80s recession and how bad it was and the mood it was. And, you know, it begins with the story of the mass murders of Charlie Starkweather, which is, you know, in many ways anachronistic to the album, but fits the mood really, really well. You know, the auto plants are closing and, you know, we're trying to find a reason to believe, and all those themes are there. And it's just a really powerful statement. But it's only one I can listen to a couple times a year because it's a tough listen.
You're listening to Heartland Politics on KBURAM-FM, Burlington, Iowa. This is your host, Robin Johnson, and my guest today is Jeff Cowie, who's an author, professor, and contributed a chapter on a recent book about Bruce Springsteen. Just came out on the occasion of Bruce's 70th birthday. The book's called Long Walk Home, Reflections on Bruce Springsteen. And Jeff's chapter that he co-authored with Joel Dinnerstein is called The Role of a Popular Artist in American Society, Section 2, which concerns Springsteen, politics, and American society. We've been talking a little bit about the origins of Jeff's like of Bruce Springsteen and admiration of his work, which has been lifelong pretty much, and his role in the book and some of the early themes here. You mentioned his involvement in politics, which didn't come along until the 80s, and there's an interesting element in Born in the USA, which I remember this, where some conservatives, including President Reagan and columnist George Will, wrote about that song and misinterpreted it, to say the least.
Yeah, that's right. Although I will offer one minor correction, which is he did play a McGovern benefit in 72.
Oh, okay. All right.
But, you know, essentially I think it was a gig. It wasn't particularly political for him. He was fairly, you know, disinterested, I think, in politics until, again, the 80s. And Nebraska is a very political album, followed up by Born in the USA, which, it's worth noting, Born in the USA, the song, that anthemic song that continues to be controversial as Donald Trump tries to play it or whatever, was written for Nebraska. That is part of the mood of that period. But they decided, you know what, let's crank up the volume, let's crank up the anthemic part of that, and, you know, that Born in the USA chant, and really create that tension between that loud Born in the USA phenomenon and then the quieter story of this guy who comes home from Vietnam and doesn't have a job and is sort of detached and alone, and yet there's this deafening patriotic chorus. So that is, in fact, a very political statement, I think. And then, but what a lot of people like George Will and Ronald Reagan heard was Born in the USA, Born in the USA, saw the big flag, the pumping fists, and the chant, and all they heard was patriotism. And they did not hear the underlying tale that's supposed to be felt directly in opposition to that patriotism, which was the a tale of individual despair in the 1980s.
Kind of like This Is Your Land with Woody Guthrie. If you only read the first verse, it's totally different from the following.
Forget the hidden, the censored lyrics, right? Yeah.
The other interesting part of this was, too, is after September 11th, the book talked about how fans were almost clamoring for Bruce to have some statement on September 11th, which shook everybody in this country. Talk about his work as a result of that and how he kind of spoke to the whole country through his music.
Right. Well, I think he's the type of person, and this is why I see him as such an important person in American arts and letters, is that he's somebody people look to in times of distress, times of despair, for a certain quiet cultural leadership or leadership by example. And even right after it happened, right after 9/11 happened, there was a telethon kind of thing, and he played My City in Ruins, debuted it. I believe it was a debut, and which was actually about Asbury Park, which is about his one of his hometowns falling apart. But here it was translated to, of course, Lower Manhattan, now being in ruins. But the album The Rising hadn't come out, and the famous story is, you know, somebody yells at him through the window, "We need you now, Bruce," or something like that, and he creates The Rising, which was really very much a healing album with a kind of return to a soul feel. And that's another thing we could talk about a little bit, is the kind of soul dimensions, the African-American soul music dimensions of Springsteen's work that makes him so iconically American, I think. But that was a very much a healing album, I think. Come on up for The Rising. I mean, we're gonna rebuild together. I think he was appalled by the war that resulted, rather than the sense of togetherness and healing that he had hoped for. Mm.
Then he got very much involved with the campaigns of John Kerry and Barack Obama for president. I guess my question is, as our society, as everyone knows, has become more and more polarized up into the point now, which I don't know that we've ever been, with the exception of the Civil War, are there risks to his fan base from taking sides in the national political debates? Has he lost some fans, some listeners, some people attending his concerts?
Yeah, this is something that my co-author there, Jill Dinnerstein, that you mentioned, he and I debate often, is what are the costs of the stardom? So on the one hand, Springsteen plays a really important role in leading his audiences, but not too far, right? He's edging them out and trying to pull them slowly in his direction, but he's not doing this in an overtly political way, usually. It's not sort of what Bob Dylan used to call finger-pointing songs. They're really songs about America. But then in the 2000s, he began to be much more partisan. And I do believe he paid a price. He certainly paid a price for 41 Shots, where the police protested his singing of the song about the unarmed shooting of an immigrant man. But I think he's constantly in this conundrum where he can't get too far ahead of his fan base, but he feels the need to pull them in a certain direction. And the more fragmented America comes, as you're saying, the more difficult this job becomes. And I think that puts him in an artistic bind, like that he has to continually perform being Bruce rather than breaking out maybe in some of the ways that he wants to, or maybe he should really experiment for fear of losing core elements of his fan base.
I noticed. I picked out in my notes where you and Joel kind of questioned or made a comment about the demise of quote shared culture, which mm-hmm. we've enjoyed in our country for the most part, and now with the divisions in our country, I guess if there's anybody that can try to bring us together, if not in politics but in music, it might be Springsteen, you think?
Yeah, no, I actually do. I mean, there is a whiteness problem, a maleness problem. Somebody like Beyonce would certainly do this in a way I think that would probably outsell Springsteen. But and some of her work and other people's work like that gets into some of the themes. But I think Springsteen plays this kind of unique role in constantly trying to figure out what it means to be an American. And the other side of it is, I don't know whether you or your listeners were able to catch Blinded by the Light, the movie, but there you see what Springsteen means internationally. So what is, how are people in other countries seeing the United States refracted through Springsteen's lyrics and Springsteen's music? And he's very popular in Europe, extremely popular, and extremely popular with young people in Europe who kind of want the United States to be that Springsteen vision more than what they're seeing right now in the Trump era.
For listeners who may not may be aware of Bruce Springsteen but don't really haven't listened to a lot of his music here, but maybe hear some songs and like them, you know, you've heard us discussing this guy, and maybe you're curious, and I think it's a fair question to ask, what does make him, you know, unique from other entertainers who, you know, who use their music to send a message on American culture? A lot of singers do that, but this guy, I guess, just share with our audience what you think, what makes him really unique and different that merits this attention and this praise that we've all given him.
Well, the first thing I would say is just his capacity for storytelling. You know, he has this very cinematographic vision. He just did an interview in the Washington Post actually a couple days ago where he was talking about how basically his songs are B-movies. And they really are. You can feel them. You can see them. They're like four-minute movies. And his capacity to use a detail to tell something. Like there's one song on The Ghost of Tom Joad where, you know, you don't know what he's doing, but he's in his basement, and then you hear 13 inches fall to the floor, you know, and that's when he makes a sawed-off shotgun and he's going to go onto the bad side. And just this use of little, rich, telling details, just incredible. And then he takes those details and projects these characters into this confusing, rough, at times mean world. And how do you keep your integrity alive, your soul alive? What matters? How do you make sure that what you, as he says, what you do to survive doesn't kill what you love the most? And then finally, what is your relationship to your family, your community, and your nation? And these questions never stop. And I think very, very powerful interpretations of these things that I think once people actually read the lyrics and got beyond maybe the rock and roll part, would really enjoy.
Okay, we'll end up with a final question that follows up on that question for the folks out there who are interested in this, who would like to learn more about Springsteen. Obviously, Springsteen's biography and also this book, again, called Long Walk Home, Reflections on Bruce Springsteen, are both highly recommended. I enjoyed them both. Share with us, as a Springsteen-ophile, your recommendations, let's say, and these may overlap, but, what you think are maybe the best songs that demonstrate his feelings on, say, what it means to be an American, and best songs that demonstrate his impact on American culture, or both?
Wow, tall order there, Robin. It's a nice challenge. I think they actually do fall into different categories, what it means to be an American and what his impact on America is. And my favorite part is what it means to be an American, so I'll start there. I like Darkness on the Edge of Town. The title track to the 1978 album, because you just have this sense of kind of, I've been emphasizing the sense of alienation between family, community, self. That song really explores it well. And we've already mentioned Steinbeck. I think What It Means to Be American, The Ghost of Tom Joad, is both in its studio version and the live version with Tom Morello. Arcs between the Grapes of Wrath in the 1930s and the hard times of the homeless people of the 1990s and sort of plays between those really beautifully. And what the immigrant Okie experience was in the 1930s with the immigrant experience of the 1990s was. And really, it's really quite a powerful statement, I think. Almost anything from Nebraska. You mentioned Nebraska. That whole thing is such a statement. I mentioned the river, the song "The River." I think that's just a brilliant piece of Americana. And one I'd sneak in there that probably most people wouldn't is "My Hometown" from the last song on "Born in the USA," about a guy, a young boy, remembers being driven around town with his dad, saying, "This is your hometown. Look around." And then he's driving his dad. He's driving around with his kid later on, and the factories have closed, and they're thinking about getting out and going south and to try and find jobs. And really captures so much history in a 3-minute song. And I'd urge anybody to, you know, the Americana of the Seeger Sessions or Streets of Philadelphia. You know, I mean, there he's putting himself in the hands of a gay man with HIV. You know, I mean, he really stretches his imagination. Or most recently, Western Stars, I think, which is a great country music album.
Oh. Okay. Well, we've run out of time. I have a feeling we could, if you want to go on, go ahead. You got a few more?
Well, you're just saying impact on America. Those are all what it means to be an American. You mentioned impact on America, which is a whole other thing. But I urge everybody to just go listen to Born to Run. The Born to Run, Thunder Road, 10th Avenue Freeze Out, that trilogy, I think just has changed the nature of rock and roll. And also is deeply about American rock and roll at the same time. And, of course, impact on America, how could you not talk about Born in the USA? But I urge anybody who's not a Bruceologist to sit down with Born in the USA and read the lyrics, right? Because you really need to read the story as well as hear the anthem. And we already talked about The Rising a little bit, definitely the sort of definitive statement of the spirit of the country at 9/11. But anyway, I think I think what we have here is not an art entertainer, or an artiste like a Bob Dylan, but really somebody who's going to take us to church and try and make the best of who we are out of ourselves.
Well, folks, if you're a Springsteen fan and you have heard that, you may agree, you may disagree. If you're curious about Springsteen more, you got some ideas there to go listen to some of his music and learn more about him. I think it's worthwhile. I'm a late convert, but I do. I really, after reading the book and listening to more of his music, I'm right there. Perhaps not at your level, but I'm getting there. I see him and I see a lot of Johnny Cash, who I've also followed.
Johnny Cash is another great example of absolutely. I agree.
Well, Jeff, I really appreciate you taking the time. Jefferson Cowie's been our guest today on Heartland Politics. He's co-authored a chapter in a book about Bruce Springsteen that I highly recommend. And it just came out in celebration of Bruce's 70th birthday. And, Jeff, thank you so much for being our guest, and look forward to seeing where your work takes you in the future. And I'm sure you'll be back to be a guest with a provocative topic.
Good talking to you again, Robin.